Karibu, everybody. It's your boy Joel, live from the 254, which is the Global Citizens Podcast new home. For those of you that don't know, I have relocated to Nairobi, Kenya. I am no longer in the 718, even though the 718 bleeds from my veins, 718 being Queens. I've been in about Nairobi for about 3 weeks now. It's been great. I moved out here because of the heart. My girl, she found a really dope opportunity here. And I think sometimes you're at that point where you're like, you know what? You go to Nairobi, I go to Nairobi. You go to the moon, I go to the moon. And, you know, it's not like I am in Afghanistan. No offense to anyone from Afghanistan. Shout out to my Afghani fans. I definitely do want to visit one day. But I'm just trying to use that metaphor so y'all understand that it's not like I moved to somewhere type wild. Nairobi's been dope so far. I do miss the family and the friends in Queens. Speaking of Queens real quickly, shout out to Tribe Called Quest. Rest in peace to Fife Dog. Fife Dog was pretty much my favorite member of the Tribe Called Quest, which is my favorite group of all time. And that's saying a lot, being that I grew up in the age of Outkast, Wu-Tang, but Tribe really did it for me, being that they were from Queens and that they repped it really hard. For those of you that are active listeners to the Global Citizen Podcast, you know that my intro music is a straight shout out to the Tribe Called Quest. And it's crazy, man. But what that teaches me also is that as you become older, you got to take care of yourself. I mean, Fife Dog was an amazing lyricist, but I feel like his health came second. But anyway, moving on from that, I just really want to use this episode right here to give you my first thoughts on Nairobi, Kenya. But just so you know, the Global Citizen Podcast is here to stay. Shout out to Maiden 83 Network, the MI83 family, Rye, Mel, Sam. We're still going to do some heavy collabo, even though I'm all the way here. So, like I was saying, I'm essentially here for love. My girl moved out here, and you know the deal. I decided to hop on a flight and be like, let's do this. You know, sometimes you got to realize if you're with the one or if you're with the right one or not. Not the one that makes you retire the jersey the first time like MJ did it, but the second time when you had Mariah Carey singing you off at the All-Star game. So really, my first impressions here is just I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised. I mean, you know, Nairobi's really dope, you know. And usually when I travel somewhere, it's automatically like, oh, man, I won't be able to get X, Y, and Z here. Or, you know, I better pack enough of this because I know I'm not going to have, you know, Q-tips or lotion. But you know, in Nairobi, there is everything, you know, you want a Mac store, you got yourself a Mac store. I cracked the screen on my phone the other day because I was trying to be sexy and run with it. But you know, they gave me the number to Samsung to hook it up. I might hold off till I get to New York to do that. But those are just kind of, you know, topical examples I'm trying to give you on what I'm trying to say. There isn't really shortage of anything. Once there is, I'll let y'all know. And it's also really refreshing to see Africans doing their thing. You know, a lot of us, myself included, when we do watch the news, what do we see when it comes to Africa? You know, it's war, it's crime, it's corruption, it's poverty. You know, it's just talking about how unsafe it is and, you know, that's really me sugarcoating things. You know, if you look deeper, I remember growing up watching Bugs Bunny cartoons, and there was one old Bugs Bunny cartoon where he went to Africa, and it was just like a lot of like witchcraft and cannibalism, and that is not the case. I mean, some of those things do exist, not the cannibalism part, but I'm talking about, you know, poverty and corruption, but that exists everywhere, man. That exists everywhere, regardless if you want to believe it or not, it exists everywhere. But here, just being here for the short time I've been here, it's just been motivating me to see everyone doing their thing, man. Everyone is going to work. Everyone is going to the club. Everyone is, you know, just doing normal things that people don't really associate Kenya or Africa with. And I think it's important that I stress that. And it's one of the things I definitely want to push while I continue the Global Citizen podcast here from Nairobi, is to give you guys live and in-depth conversations with people who are doing great things here. And just a quick plug, follow me on Snapchat at Joey, J-O-W-A-Y-25. Same for Twitter. I will be tweeting, I'll be snapping just kind of what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, whether it's going to the supermarket or whether it's smoking on some shisha at the at a club or at a bar. Also, you know, shout out to everyone else on Twitter. Check us out at MI83. Also, check us out on MI83network.com, where you could also find my blog as well as other publications from the MI83 team. So I've been getting to know the city a lot. How, really? Well, looking for an apartment. You know, just like looking for an apartment anywhere else, it is stressful. And just like looking for an apartment anywhere else, when you have a broker, these brokers are going for your pockets. But getting around to see these apartments, I've been taking public transportation. And the main form of public transportation here is a bus called a matatu. Matatu. I've been pretty obsessed with them. Some of them are in the form of larger buses. And if you've been following me on Snapchat, you see that they blast music in these things. You know, if you're trying to have a nice quiet nap on your way back home from work, you might not want to take a matatu. But the music is good generally. People here really love hip hop, really love classic reggae. But sometimes, you know, Kenyans really get into it with the gospel music. And, no, you know, nothing against gospel music, but when I'm trying to relax, I'm not trying to hear a fake-ass Kirk Franklin tell me the good word. But the large buses are one thing, but then there are these small packed vans that should hold 14 people. But here in Kenya, you know, they pack it in. There's always room for one more. So sometimes you just get really up close and personal with people in a way you didn't know you could. But a big thing here in Nairobi is Uber. Woo! Uber! You know, it's a game changer. I try not to take too many taxis. I try to stick to the matatu game, just like how you'd be anywhere else, you know, especially in New York. Once you drop that $120 on that monthly Metro card, how often are you trying to take a cab? But, you know, you at times late night, when you're on that late night tip, you want to get home quickly and safely, you do Uber. And it's wild, man. That blew my mind. I mean, it shouldn't, but it blew my mind that there is Uber. Also, I've been taking motorbikes, mom, earmuffs. Here they call them boda bodas, and I already got two boda boda drivers in my Rolodex. So whenever I'm in need of a ride, I hit them up. Shout out to Peter and shout out to Dennis. And going back real quick, back to the matatu rides and the hip hop game here is pretty on point. So aside from like local Kenyan artists who are doing their thing where they spit in Swahili, people here really are big fans of hip hop. I mean, every club I've been to, it's like new school, old school. It really is on point. And, you know, I really hope that artists, from the Kendricks to the Rick Rosses to everyone, realizes that there is a huge fan base here and they come through. I live tweeted Kendrick. I'm pretty sure he or his secretary deleted the tweet, but I told him to come through because it's really a special place here. And, you know, again, just bringing it back to a place where there are just black people doing their thing. Not that that doesn't exist in the States or in Europe or in the westernized world, wherever you're listening, but usually there is a, you know, a stigma. And usually, for example, in New York, you know, where I'm from, a lot of places I'd walk into and I'd be the only black dude in there. That is the complete opposite here. Even though there are foreigners here who are here working, but who also have fallen in love. I met a lot of people who've been here. They'd be like, yeah, I came for 2 months and I've been here for 5 years. It's really one of those places, and really, I hope that family and friends do come visit. Talking to you, Rye, come through. Negatives. I mean, there are negatives to anywhere you go. You know, let's keep it real. So Kenyans are extremely polite and helpful, but I'm sorry, you guys suck at giving directions. Like, they don't say left or right. It's really straight, and they kind of hand gesture a lot. So, you know, if I'm trying to get to place X and I'm walking, I probably will have to ask about 7 people where they're going. Also, there are no shortcuts here. Like, maybe I don't know about them yet, but, like, for example, if you have a road and there are 2 sides to it, you think that, okay, I'm trying to get to the other side, it'll take about 5 minutes. Nah, homie. You got to go to the roundabout, and in the roundabout, there's traffic, and people don't let you merge. So, you know, those are the 2 things real quick where I'm like, okay, this is whack. Another thing, I definitely want to start driving here. It would depend to see what happens, but people drive on the opposite side of the road. So that would freak me out if I made a right turn, I'm coming onto oncoming traffic, and then it's my fault. And then people here, you know, I feel like, yo, New York road rage is a special kind of road rage. It's like, we honk, we curse. People here, not so much. It's like, you can cut me off. It's all right, buddy. Do your thing. Karibu. Nah, not me. In New York, I've already, like, I haven't cursed out anybody, but I've given some dirty looks to some motorcycle drivers. I've called a couple of drivers who wouldn't let me cross the street, assholes. You know, that's just the 718. That's just the 7. That's how you know that I'm not letting go of that 718. Another thing I want to bring up, and I'm going to say it right here. Kenyans are fly. Like, you know, I came here with pretty much basic ass clothes. I'm like, oh, you know, I want to keep it low key. I don't want no one to see me. I see you, Kenya. Don't worry. I'm going home in May. I'm going to go back to the closet and bring some stuff. You guys want to stunt? I can stunt too. It's okay. We gonna stunt together. But I know now. You woke up the beast. You know, and also all the carts and all the websites I tried to unsubscribe from, they're full now. And this is gonna happen, and I can't wait. This past weekend, so right now we're recording this live. Today it's actually Easter Sunday. But here, Easter's a very big holiday. Like, usually they're about 4 to 5 days off. And this past weekend, I believe 2 nights ago, I went to a thrift shop social. And at first I was like, oh, whatever. We'll go to this, see what happens. Man, people came in there dressed to impress. I even bought me a shirt there. I was like, yeah, I got to step it up. But the thrift shop game is big here in Nairobi. And it's not like Salvation Army thrift shop or Uji Buji thrift shop from New York, where you're like, oh, let me go to Beacon's Closet and spend $50 on a shirt. What? People really are all about that thrift shop game. They're about how their appearance, but there are, you know, Kenyan hipsters, there are Kenyan Afropunk dudes, there are Kenyan, like, you know, Rasta dudes. It's just like whatever flavor you want, there it's here. You know, you got your corporate dudes, you got your church going dudes, and ladies as well. And it's just really a vibrant place. You know, I don't want to say I didn't expect it, because usually when I travel, I kind of just go and I don't really look things up. Clearly, if it's like, you know, if the U.S. State Department's like, you know, code red, don't go here, then I'll look it up. But, you know, when I lived in Brazil, before I went to Brazil, clearly I knew what people told me about Brazil. But I didn't, like, Google it to see, anything. You know, I didn't care about the population, like how many people or what things looked like. I just kind of want to be surprised. You know, it's been the same thing when I went to Mali, when I went to Mexico. But and I did the same thing here, and it's just been such like a nice surprise. And, you know, I hope that newfound Kenyan listeners aren't taking offense when I use that word, that I've been surprised. I didn't expect anything negative, but I guess I didn't know what to expect. And then here I've been taken aback. People here doing donuts in X5s. I'm like, okay, I see you. One thing that has been funny is one of the first things people asked me when I got here was, are you voting for Donald Trump or do I feel the burn? I mean, I'm not going to mention anything about who I'm voting for or who I'm not voting for, but people are definitely aware of what's going on in the States. And, you know, when you watch news about what's going on in the United States from another country, you see it in a different light, you know? You definitely see it in a different light, and we don't look as normal as we might feel we do. Especially when I got here, it was right on the eve, or not even the eve, in the aftermath of the Chicago protest. Shout out to everybody in Chicago for the Donald Trump rally. And people were like, man, this looks kind of crazy. You know, it looks like us when we're in election season. And I think 2016 is going to be a very tense election season for all countries. Here in Kenya as well, people are already talking about it. They're definitely concerned. You know, there is lots of talk of corruption and the high spike in prices. But the United States as well, I mean, it looks wild out there. So everybody stay safe. I know it's really tense. People, you know, no matter what you want to believe, when you can't put your political differences aside, it gets crazy. And one thing I must say, and one thing I don't want to say like, but what I appreciate about this Donald Trump phenomenon is that people are coming out the woodwork. I mean, people, for me, like if you want to be a racist, I'd rather you be an overt racist and be like, I don't like you, versus kind of smiling in my face and then stabbing me in the back or popping off about me in the background. Just, you might as well just be open about it. And I think that Donald Trump has emboldened, he has empowered these racists to come out. The Ku Klux Klan, they coming out hard, heavy. And it's crazy, man. If y'all don't think Donald Trump can win, you guys better just wake up and smell the coffee. And transitioning back to something less serious, coffee. So I came here. I'm like, Kenya, Africa, coffee. I'm going to get some real-ass coffee. I can't wait. Yo, Kenyans don't really drink coffee. They brew it. They sell it. But they don't drink it. So the first 2 days here, I'm like jet lagged. I'm not getting any sleep. I was like, I need coffee. And then I'm being served tea with milk in it. And while it's delicious, I need caffeine in my veins. So I went to this one restaurant for a birthday party. And I was like, they're like, what do you like to drink? People are getting like vodka. I was like, coffee. Son, I get coffee and it's just like Nescafe. Nescafe is like that fake ass instant coffee. I wanted to throw the pot in the waiter's face, but I didn't do that. Kept it together. But I have found a new home in Java House. I would say they're like, they're not like the Starbucks. It's like combining Starbucks and Pret and something else, because they also serve food and they have free Wi-Fi. But the coffee is good here, but they just don't drink it. They're like, weekends, we drink tea in the morning. And I'm like, that's great. That's great. Tea time. Hey, tea time, everybody. But I need coffee. You know how it is, especially us New Yorkers, man. You don't have that one cup. You're ready to drop kick someone at the drop of a hat. But we're going to avoid that. I found out a system for coffee. We're gonna be good. But back to, I guess, you know, it is a Global Citizen podcast, so I really just want to dab a little bit on politics. So just recently, it's been, 3 days now, there were the horrific attacks at the Belgian airport. You know, my prayers go out to everyone who was affected. I have traveled through that airport on numerous occasions, especially going back and forth. Whenever I, you know, when I travel to and from Africa, whether it's DRC or now Kenya, I either have a layover in Brussels or in Istanbul. And, you know, recently with the attacks that have been going on in Turkey, I was thinking to myself, man, like, maybe I should start doing my layovers again in Brussels, you know, just a little nervous. And I don't know what to say now. Like, I guess I'll stick to Istanbul because that is crazy. Because usually the security, airport security, is thorough anywhere you go. In Istanbul now, with kind of the rise of ISIS, the security to get in and out of that airport is no joke. Even here in Kenya, like, you know, in 2014, one of their biggest, newest malls, Westgate, was attacked by Al-Shabaab, which is a terrorist organization based out of Somalia. And Somalia is a neighboring country, but Al-Shabaab in 2014 came, and I think about 70 people were killed in Westgate. But now the security is, like, out of control. Anywhere you go, anywhere of importance, whether it's a mall or even, you know, to get a cell phone, a SIM card, any, you know, their version of Verizon, T-Mobile, whatever, Safaricom, Airtel, you got security guards looking through your bags. The other day, my girl and I got stopped. We asked military men for directions, which was such a stupid mistake. But, you know, they checked our passports. So I think the world right now is on, you know, hypersensitive alert about what's going on. So, you know, back to what I was saying in Brussels, you know, it's crazy. I've been in that airport a number of times. I've passed out in that airport waiting for my layover. And, you know, it goes to show you how real it is. But, you know, one thing I really was kind of disappointed in and have been disappointed in is that in the past 6 months, we've had attacks going on throughout the world. So we had France, we had Belgium, and I feel like those are the only two that have garnered media attention. You know, it's been 3 days now, and the media is still, you know, when I check my news feed, the media is still talking about Belgium. People are putting up Belgium flags and standing with the victims. But, you know, within the past 6 months, there's been attacks in Cote d'Ivoire. There have been attacks in Mali. There have been attacks in Burkina Faso. There have been 3 attacks in Turkey. There was recently the attacks in Nigeria where Boko Haram blew up a mosque. So it's basically Boko Haram who you can't even call them Muslim extremists because they're just killing Muslims as well, as is ISIS. But the media attention, I swear to God, Nigeria got an article in BBC. Cote d'Ivoire, you know, Turkey, these stories are not getting anywhere near the amount of time. Now, I don't have a problem with people putting up any of the flags. I was mad about that before, but, you know, you're standing in solidarity with people. But if you're going to do that, you got to do it for everyone. You really got to inform yourself. I think right now in 2016, we as individuals need to know what's going on everywhere because all these issues are linking to each other. Clearly, you're going to have more concern for what's going on in your home, in your backyard. But you need to understand, for example, these terrorist attacks, it's just not in countries with white people where you should care about it, you know? Cote d'Ivoire just is out of a civil war. You know, their civil war ended in, what, 2005? And now this? Burkina Faso, you know, these people in Burkina are extremely revolutionary. And, you know, they get hit by Al-Qaeda for what? So I think that we need to realize that we need to stand in solidarity with each other. And it's not happening enough. What really infuriated me, and I'll say this actually pissed me off, Hot 97, son, they put up a Belgian flag standing with the victims on their Instagram account. And it's not them standing with the victims that upset me. It's not them putting up the Belgian flag that upset me. But, yo, this is a hip-hop station where its fans in New York City, a large part of them are from Harlem, and Harlem has a ton of West Africans. There are so many people from Burkina Faso. And when something like that happens there, Pine 87 keeps it quiet, but they want to put up a Belgian flag. I went off. I went off on Twitter. And I usually don't go into Twitter rants. I've, you know, try to take a step back from Facebook rants because really it's just, you really can't teach anyone anything over a Twitter rant or an Instagram rant. Rather, it was on Instagram. But Hot 97, yo, you guys, shout out to Power 105. You know, I've been down on Hot 97 for a minute. But for me, you guys have a huge following of black people. It's New York City. And you can't just, you know, pick and choose who you want to support. You have to support everybody, you know? You have to, by support, I mean stand in solidarity with people who are suffering the same fate. And really, I was really, really disappointed. You know, now that I guess podcasting can count as radio, sort of, kind of, it really kind of turned me off onto everything that they do. So yeah, anyway, that's my rant on, I guess, what's been going on globally since I'm on the other side of the water. Weather. Let's talk about the weather. I mean, I know springtime is coming in New York City and the East Coast, and it's, you know, booty short time, you know, crop tops, cleavage for you ladies, dudes with the tank tops. Everyone is, you know, it's that season, man, you know, so make sure you have that serious talk with your loved one but your boo piece, because we all know spring is when those relationships end because all that ass is out there. The weather in Nairobi is pretty great. People have been complaining that it's been, like, really hot here. I mean, it has been hot, but, you know, it's bearable. It's like 89, 90, which isn't terrible, but when you're in a matatu and stuck in traffic, it's a problem. Traffic here blows, by the way. It's almost like the city's growing so much that they need to build new roads. The roads are fine. They're just kind of narrow, and everyone who has whips is just kind of clogging each other. And then again, these matatus just got rules of their own. Imagine the Q46 just cutting everybody off and pulling illegal U-turns. That's kind of what it's like. But yeah, you know, again, shout out to everyone dealing with that spring fling. I know what it's like, you know, back in my single days. I know. And it's going to be, you know, it's thirst bucket season. It really is. So back to kind of things that I miss. The food in Kenya is straight. Kenyan food is cool. It's not bad, but the cool thing about Nairobi, at least, is that you have options. There's just all types of food here. Indian, Lebanese, Ethiopian, Chinese, Japanese. So it's really take your pick. But I'm trying really hard not to get some of these bellies I've been seeing on these Kenyan dudes. Whew! I've been working out a lot. That's a motivation. Every time I see them, I'm just like, I was going to go out, but let me go back and do these push-ups. In Africa in general, there's always some sort of base. In DRC and in Nigeria, the base, they usually call it is like fufu. So fufu is basically, it sounds funny, but it's kind of like, it's a base. Like, for example, Haiti, our base is rice. We eat a lot of rice. I know in the Philippines, they eat lots of rice as well. Also in Latin America, rice, Asia, rice. There's always just that kind of the base. But here in Kenya, it's called ugali. And ugali is kind of like maize, or I don't know what the other thing is, but you kind of get this, it's not a paste. It's kind of like a thick cornmeal-y thing. And then that's the base. And then usually you have a sauce or a meat with it. In East Africa, meaning Ethiopia and Eritrea, they have enjada, which is kind of like a flat bread pancake. And then you use that as your base, and then you eat whatever. So it is tasty. They eat lots of chapati. Chapati is like, ooh, chapati wadi. It's kind of like a flat pancake, a fried dough, a fried bread that is dangerously delicious. The beer here, the main beer is called Tusker. Tusker's aight. It's aight. The White Caps, that's my beer of choice here, but I've been trying to hold back on it. But, you know, Kenyans do their thing, man. That's kind of the point I've been trying to get across this entire episode. It's really been a good time so far. I'm going to be here for a while. There will be pictures. So as I get ready to ride out of here, please continue to follow Instagram, Global Citizen Podcast, Twitter, at JOWA25. Same with the Snapchat, JOWA25. Shout out to the MI83 family. I'm looking forward to you guys following me on this journey. So far, Kenya's been dope. And yeah, I'll catch y'all on the flip side. Peace.
Hey, yo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we could get down. Now let's not...